Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge my allegiance, America, the bold, for this is my country to have and to
Zola on March 7th, and March came in like a lion and left like a lamb. Let's hope so, with this weather so funky. Excuse me. Still have it cold. This is still our country, but we wonder when we go to the gas pump if we're really prisoners to the oil sheikdoms of the Middle East. We still haven't tapped our resources, and of course, one of the biggest oil scandals in U.S. history. One of my favorite places whenever I go through Wyoming is the Teapot Dome scandal back in the 20s during the Harding administration, which involved a U.S. senator, interestingly named Albert Fall, and it was a Ninth Circuit appellate case involving the hijacking and siphoning off of U.S. Navy's oil reserves at a little town called Teapot Dome. It's also a place where the Secretary of Interior, Jim Watt, I think was born or born near there, and it involved several major oil companies, a guy named Doheny, I think, Standard Oil may have been involved, but we've had major oil companies of that time were involved, and Albert Fall, in effect, took the fall and went to prison. It also involved, I think, the Secretary of the Interior and I think the Attorney General in Harding's administration, William Daugherty from Ohio. But, of course, gasoline is coming up to nearly $5 a gallon here in the Bay Area of San Francisco, not the Bay Area of Massachusetts. There's two Bay Areas, incidentally. So I don't know what we're going to do. It's hurting the economy, and then we have food prices creeping up, and anything that's connected to oil is affected. So let's see what happens. Now, there was an expert on BBC this morning. During the 70s, the Hezbollah terrorists hijacked a meeting of OPEC, and there were several high-ranking officials there from the various oil emirates. And one guy, they stuck a grenade next to his head in case anybody tried to free him. This was in Vienna, I think. And he survived. The grenade didn't go off. But he wrote a book. He was on BBC this morning. I forgot the name of the book. But anyway, he said that the crisis in Libya is not really the having the effect on the American economy or the world's economy. There are other factors. Emerging nations are coming out of their recession faster, and of course there's a demand for cars. I mean, look at all those Chinese. They're getting off their bicycles as soon as they can and getting cars. And of course they've invented a car or using Western technology to build a car, which is being marketed here or presumed to be marketed here. And of course, the reverse is happening in the United States. We're fast becoming a coolie economy, and bikers, all this emphasis on bikes, which our topography does not is not favorable for, going up hills, especially in San Francisco. Can you imagine a senior citizen peddling her groceries up some of the highest hills in the city? It's ridiculous. And of course, the bicyclists do not, they are privileged class. They do not, at least in California and several others, many other states. They are not required to be licensed. They're not required to have safety devices like lights, warning bells like your tricycle when you're a kid, or a front light, in order to have insurance, or to obey, more importantly, to obey the rules of the road. So this is a growing issue, and as people, motorists begin to get squeezed for more and more license fees and more taxes and more high gasoline taxes, they're going to start looking at where a lot of this money may be going, and that is for these bicycle lanes and these bicyclists who pay nothing, who want everything and demand even more. Among the birthdays today on March 7th, and talking about wackos, in 1844, Anthony Comstock was born. Now, he's the guy who started a lot of this revival of Puritanism, of shutting down bars, looking for pornography, that sort of thing. He was really a psycho problem, and he was a friend of the woman who went around with a hatchet, not Mother Jones, but who was shutting down bars and taverns and smashing bottles of alcohol. Her claim was her husband drank up all the paycheck, and so she had to go out and hustle, not hustle her body, but try to raise money for the family. I don't know how many kids she had, but this is what we saw. And also the Comstock laws affected what was going through the mails and communications at the time. And there was censorship, and I can talk about that another day because I dealt with some of that when I worked for the federal government. It's also the birthday of Luther Burbank, the great botanist, a plant specialist who invented the grapefruit, among other things, and he was a friend of Thomas Edison and Henry Ford, and the city of Burbank, California, is named after him. One of the worst people in history was born this day, Reinhold Heydrich, who is a guy who was even feared by Himmler, the head of the SS and the second or third most powerful man in Hitler's Reich. And Reinhold reportedly had a homosexual liaison he was in the German Navy, and he was cashiered out, and he was known as the Blonde Beast. He was cultured, surprisingly, as many of those Nazis were. He played the violin. He was an accomplished violinist, read, but he was a horrible racist. And there's a movie out called The Wannsee Conference, where this is a estate in a lake near Berlin, where the top Nazi lawyers and functionaries like Eichmann and Heydrich met to decide the final decision on the Jews, and other Untermenschen were included. And so if you're interested in that part of history and see why some of the things happen and why they happen and why they could happen again, I suggest you look up that movie and we'll bring it up again. Also, we had Tammy Faye Baker, Jim and Tammy, the what I call media ministers who were ripping off everybody, and as so many of them are, were, and a few of them still are, and also the fact that these people, they preach the gospel and don't follow the teachings of Christ like they claim they do, and of course the collection basket gets passed around. These people live high on the hog, like church poverty profiteers. Among the deaths today, Aristotle, the great philosopher, he died today. No, he wasn't poisoned. That was Socrates, who had to take hemlock. We have St. Thomas Aquinas, who lived the life of a sinner, and then he got redemption. And also Franz Liszt, the same thing. Screwed around with a lot of women and lived a profligate life, and in his old age he decided to become a cleric and play the organ. St. Thomas Aquinas is the we have the Thomism and the Aquinian philosophy that's a growing number of Catholics and theologians question some of his ideas. Then a friend of Noel Coward, the great English songwriter, and he was also a movie star and produced the movie during World War II, In Which We Served, which is based on the exploits of Lord Mountbatten, who was the uncle, late uncle of the Queen, and was a hero in World War II, and of course was the great-great uncle of second Crown Prince, Prince William, and the great uncle of Prince Charles. Anyway, Ivan Novello was a great composer, and he was most famous, known for the song "Keep the Home Fires Burning," which was a World War I song, I believe, which bucked up the British spirit. Then we had Yuri Gagarin, the first Russian cosmonaut. He died at age 31. This is interesting. He was a very young chap. And then we had Senator Jacob Javits, who was a Republican, Jewish heritage, and supposedly, quote, a Eastern liberal. And his daughter, Carla Javits, who is involved in this affordable housing controversies around the country, setting up a thing called something called supportive housing. But again, it's one of these real estate racketeering situations where these politicians and politically connected real estate racketeers and developers get federal funds to set up housing. They end up being build and abandon schemes, as an example of Pifere Plaza here in San Francisco, named after a sexual predator. The taxpayers spent $10 million just to build the place and acquire the land. Then there's subsidized payments made for rents for people who can't afford the rents. And then they let the place deteriorate, and they raise the rents 400%. It's outrageous. Not even commercial lenders, realtors, and real estate management companies could get away with that. And there was nothing reported in the commercial press. You didn't see it in the Chronicle, the Examiner, the Bay Guardian, any of this. It's an example of so many things that are censored and suppressed in the media, or if they can't censor and suppress it, they lie, they distort, and they omit. And then, let's see, of the major events today, we had in 1530, getting back to the English monarchy, the Tudors. Henry VIII had a fight with the church because of his he couldn't marry Anne Boleyn after he had divorced Catherine of Aragon, who couldn't have a male child that survived. She only had Mary, who's known as Bloody Mary. We'll get into her another day. Because so he was a very accomplished man. You will hear, if you watch the coronation of the next monarch in England, if it's Charles or William, you will hear a line in the service called "Defender of the Faith," and this goes back to the Roman Catholic tradition of the English kings that ended with Henry VIII, but he kept the title. And he wrote in Latin, which was quite an accomplishment, a scholarly treatise on the Catholic religion. And he was a great dancer and, of course, a great lover who probably died of syphilis. So he got mad at the Pope and said, I'm splitting off from the Catholic Church's authority, and I'm setting myself up as the head of the Church of England, which is the Anglican Church. And unless you're acquainted with Catholic traditions and practices and all of the pomp and ceremony, it's sometimes difficult to distinguish between the Church of England or the Episcopals and their services and the Roman Catholic services. And then in 1801, Massachusetts became the first state to set up voter registration on this date. And then the first Catholic governor, a guy named Edward Cavenaugh, in 1843, in the state of Maine, he was elected. And then we had first socialist mayor, I think in Milwaukee, Mark Bright, he was elected, and he made a statement that women were not fit to drive automobiles. Got away with it at the time. And then this may happen, may be necessary again because of what's happening in Mexico. In 1911, the United States sent 20,000 troops to the U.S.-Mexican border because of the raids by Mexican bandits and freedom fighters like Pancho Villa. In fact, I think George Patton was in on that, and General Pershing was in command. And then, let's see, we had the first jazz record was produced in 1917. We don't have, I couldn't find a copy in the archives, but I'll look again. And then in 1942, the first cadets were black, graduated from flying school at the Tuskegee, Alabama Institute, and some of them later became Air Force generals, and were famous, like Chappie Daniels. FDR's wife, Eleanor, they said blacks couldn't fly, but she said, I'll go up with one of these guys. I trust them to be competent. And she flew with, she was a passenger in one of the planes. Also, the 8th Air Force in Europe, because the Germans, the Luftwaffe was still very powerful and was shooting the B-17s out of the sky, and the P-40s didn't have enough range at the time, could not accompany the B-17s to their targets and back safely. So some of the blacks became the pilots of the fighter planes to accompany the B-17s. I don't know if any were shot down and were in German POW camps. Now, the Germans treated the Air Force POWs differently because Goring's position was that, you know, if we don't treat the Allied POW airmen, according to the rules of war, Geneva Conventions, our Luftwaffe POWs won't be treated in the Allied POW camps. And that movie, The Great Escape, is an example of that, starring Steve McQueen and a whole cast of Edward Attenborough, James Donald, and James Garner, a lot of famous actors. And if you want to understand this whole thing about how Allied airmen were treated in POW camps, see The Great Escape. And then on this day, Tito set up Yugoslavia. We will have an interview. I'm working on the guy. He is a legal immigrant from the former Yugoslavia. He served in the Yugoslav Army, and I'm just setting up an interview, a live interview with him on what would Tito do if he were alive today about Yugoslavia, which is split up into Serbia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and Croatia, and that's the product of the Balkans and Empire of the Turks. And then we have 1965, we had the Civil Rights March in Selma, where 600 blacks fought off or defended themselves against the Alabama state troopers, who at the time were very racist with people like Bull Connor. And that. And in 1967, Jimmy Hoffa was sentenced to prison, Jimmy Hoffa of the Teamsters. And, of course, he was told when he got out not to try to retake over the presidency of the Teamsters Union, and he tried, and he disappeared. Some people say he's buried in some freeway or under a freeway. We don't know. His son, his adopted son, Jimmy Hoffa Jr., is current president of the Teamsters Union. Very powerful union. And, of course, among the other things today, the New York Times, I can't remember in recent years where they had a case reported on rape of male children and military people, like the case here in California, cases here in California, where Randy Kraft, back in the 80s, lured, drugged, mutilated, murdered, and dumped the bodies of young Marines and other, I think an Army guy up in Oregon. And then his crime wave was as far east as Michigan and then up into British Columbia, I believe. And anyway, he's sitting on death row in San Quentin. But you don't hear about these things. Even the Chronicle and of course, all the liberal press doesn't write about that. And then we have the case of Steve Neri, who fought back on his rapist about involving Juan Pifray. And this is this month makes 16 years that he has been illegally in California State Prison based on a fraudulent forged documents to get him off the ship, fabricated evidence at a kangaroo court trial conducted by a guy, Kevin Ryan, who lied about how he entered the United States and Canada. This may be the biggest illegal alien case in the American jurisprudence. And then we had other victims, the case of the young boy in Arkansas, Little Rock, who was tortured, raped, and murdered by two, a beautician and his lover, and that case wasn't reported. But in this week's New York Times, and last week, the Hidden Victims of Wartime Rape, although they don't get into domestic rape, is written by Laura Semple, a law professor at the Graduate School of the Health and Human Rights Law Project, University of California at Los Angeles. And it's a long article, but I'll just get into one thing. They talk about, she talks about how the UN, about rape. It's not a sexual crime, but this is what she says. Rape has long been a way to humiliate, traumatize, and silence the enemy. For many of the same reasons that combatants assault women and girls, they also rape men and boys. Nevertheless, international legal documents routinely reflect the assumption that sexual violence happens only to women and girls. This is one of the issues that I refer to in political fictions, political facts, fictions, and frauds. There are dozens of references to violence against women defined to include sexual violence. In the United Nations human rights resolutions, treaties, and agreements, but most don't mention sexual violence against men. And we'll get into this more. Since this was Newt Rockne's birthday, and then here's a connection to the Steve Mary case, that Artie Funer, who was a witness in the case, was a trainer at Notre Dame University after he got out of the Marine Corps after World War II. But Newt Rockne was part of the great football tradition of the university, and of course in the Catholic schools we always looked at Notre Dame as the preeminent football school with people. But in recent years, they had Protestants like Ara Pershevian, and I forgot the most recent guy. But anyway, this is an example of football oratory, sports oratory, I would say. And so we're going to play it, Newt Rockne. Now, he died in a plane crash with Wiley Post and Will Rogers in Alaska, and I think he converted to Catholicism before. And then there was a famous movie with Ronald Reagan, who played George Gipp. And there's a scene. This is where the what I call political etymology, where the phrase that was used in when talking about Reagan was "Make one for the Gipper." George Gipp, who's Ronald Reagan played, that football player on Notre Dame who later died. Uttered that famous phrase, tell the team, I'm paraphrasing, tell the team to make one for the Gipper. That's the origin of that phrase. Now, here's Newt Rockne's football, a locker room football oratory. This is an audio clip.
Collins, Ewan, Kolek will play the end. The same back to you, Jimmy, Ewan. Collins. Chetney and Nimi. Now, the success of any team, then, based on team play, them is shown all year. Sacrifice, unselfish sacrifice. These other fellows, they say, are pretty good, but I think we're better. And I think if we get ourselves keyed up to a point where we're confident of that, why, the results will take care of themselves. All right, now in the kickoff, if we receive, the three men drop back on the receiver and block long, at all Notre Dame style. And if we kick off, with the rest of these teams walk, let's run down fast. This is fast chicken run. And then we go on defense. And on defense, I want the center in and out of that line, according to the situation. Use your old head, and I want you guys charging through as far as you can go. On every play, they expect to play right over you every time. And the tackles, I want you to go in a yard and a half, and then check yourself. Spread your feet, squat down low, and be ready with your hands and elbows. So you won't be sideswiped. But I want the ends in there fast every play. Every play, but under control. And you men in the back below, I want you to analyze before you move. And they throw a forward pass. They throw a pass, wait till you see the ball in the air. And then go and get it. And when they get it, boys, that's when they go on offense. That's when they go to. And don't forget they're going to pick it on one tackle they've had this week. We're going inside them. We're going outside them. Inside them and outside them. And when we get them on the run once, we're going to keep them on the run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on the run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today's the day we're going to win. They can't lick us, and from the black out of the goal. The first whistle of the man win there and fight, 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 fight. What do you say, man?
So, friends, folks, that was the great Newt Rockne, one of the greatest football coaches of all time. Coming from Illinois, we had a Stag. Those people who are familiar with the University of Chicago and Stag Field, that was a great football team, Alonzo Stag, until Robert Maynard Hutchins became chancellor of the university, and he didn't like football, and he closed the sports program down, and it later became underneath the bleachers. Enrico Fermi and some other scientists achieved the first atomic reaction, which later developed into the atomic bomb. And there'll be some other interesting things about Nevada and the atomic bomb and Winnemucca and potatoes. We'll get into that another day. So we're going to end tonight. This week is also the birthday of Jack Kuriak. I went through the archives. A lot of our stuff comes from, most of our stuff comes from the archives. We worked at Western Public Radio, KALW-FM, the Carson Verzoa archives. So we're looking, I'm still cataloging a lot of stuff. And also it's audio, video, and some print. So that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. And, of course, it's educational. We're not asking you for money. But we have an interview with Jack Kuriak, not that I did, but it's interesting to play because he was from the Beat Generation and it's still very big here in San Francisco. So we're going to end right now. So that'll be later this week. And then we have a lot of interviews coming up, things that I did. So hopefully I get over this bloody cold. So let's end with what the theme of a lot of our politics today, although they don't play poker, we used to get the term smoke-filled room. These days, if it's smoke-filled room, it's either pot or cocaine. And it's you can snort, but you can't smoke.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Say, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it bound? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and call.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael, when you think of it, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
Well, that's where a lot of these politicians belong, who are involved in this real estate racketeering and abuse of senior citizens and children. So we'll be back Wednesday at 5:30. This is Peter Paul Vizzola. Thank you for listening. And this will remain up in the archives. You can download on your iPod or on your computer. Good night.